And then he finishes here with this beautiful request, if you will, of the Lord, that we might know him better. And after sharing that he's pretty much lost everything from a worldly perspective, how should we respond when we lose things here on earth, when we go through trials and things have been stripped away? We should have the same desire that Paul had, and that is, I just want to know Jesus better. Amen? And so beginning in verse 7 of Philippians 3, where we finished last week, Paul says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." So that I may know him, that'll be our title. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for the wonderful privilege to assemble and to open the word together, to praise together, and to pray together. Give us a sweet time in your word and in prayer later on. And Lord, may it just bless our hearts. And may our desire be the same as Paul's, that we might know you better. So have your will in our hearts. Thank you for tonight and this privilege. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, we saw last week, Paul said, all of my past, my training, my education, my multiple languages, every that, he says, I count it all loss for Christ. And we really can't get to know Christ better until we're willing to get to this point where we say, Lord, it's all about you now. It's not about me. It's not about these things that I have acquired or gained, either physical or whatever. It's about you. And that's what he's saying. He says, I've counted all loss. None of it matters anymore. What matters is Jesus. Like he said last week in Galatians 6, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. And that has to be our attitude. And then he even says here in verse 8, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. In other words, I just want to know him. And I count everything but loss. And he said, and I actually have, verse 8, suffered the loss of all things. From a worldly perspective, Paul lost everything and was pretty much a vagabond most of his life, if you think about it. A gypsy almost, just traveling around, didn't have any possessions. If he didn't have people traveling with him, he probably wouldn't even have had people to cook his meals. He just was on the road all the time and owned pretty much nothing, just like Jesus. And he says, I've suffered the loss of all things, and I count them but dung. Why? That I might win Christ. So again, in verse 8, I want the knowledge. I want to win Christ. I want to know Jesus better. Nothing else matters. And then he reminds us, verse 9, which we talked about last week, it's not about my righteousness. It's about what I have through Jesus. Amen? Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. In other words, when we become Christians, we get the righteousness of Jesus applied to us, as we know, 2 Corinthians 5:21, who hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Imputation, imputed righteousness is applied to our account when we're born again. And that's what Paul is saying. I have all the righteousness I will ever have. It was given to me as a gift when I got saved. So I'm not trying to earn God's favor. And I'm not going to focus on my worldly things that I've acquired over the years. Education, possessions. Matter of fact, I've lost most of that. And I don't care. He says, what I do care about is verse 10. And if this was every Christian's goal, life would be so much better for all of us. How should we respond when we lose so much in a worldly perspective, when we lose things? Maybe we lose our job. Maybe we lose money. Maybe we lose relationships. How should we respond? Just like this. He says, I've lost everything. I count it but dung. It doesn't matter. This is what matters, that I may know him. That's what matters. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. That's what matters. So let's focus on this verse tonight. That I may know him. That should be our highest goal as Christians, isn't it? He's not talking here about salvation. He's preaching to Christians. So we know Christ already as our Savior. That's not what he's talking about, is it? He's talking about knowing him personally better. And we're told this through the Scriptures. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, where God wants us to be constantly getting to know Jesus better. Colossians 1:9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Look at this last phrase. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God, that I may know him, Paul said. Also look at 2 Peter 3:18. Peter finishes up his epistles with this beautiful verse. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just keep getting to know Jesus more. You know, we're going to spend forever with Jesus. So how well do we know him? It's good to get to know him as much as we can down here. Amen. And that's what Paul says. He says, I've lost everything from a worldly perspective. He might have lost his home. We don't know. But he's lost all of his possessions. He lives on the road the rest of his life. And he says, I count it but dung. I don't care about any of that. This is what I care about, that I may know him. And I might know him better. Now, if you don't know him as your Savior, you're not going to go to heaven. Jesus even tells us that in Matthew 7, right? These people that come to Christ and say, oh, I've cast out devils in your name, and your name done many wonderful works. And I will say unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. But if you're Christians, you know him as your Savior, but that's not what Paul's talking about. I want to know him more. That should be our goal. Not only that I know him more, but look at verse 10. And the power of his resurrection. So my desire is that I might know Jesus more, and I want his power. I want his power over sin. I want his power to be a witness. I want his power to serve him. And didn't Christ say, Acts 1:8, we'll turn there quickly. Most of you probably know it. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. That once the Holy Ghost came down, he would give us power. That's exactly what happened on Pentecost and has been happening ever since. A person gets saved, the Holy Spirit moves in and gives us power. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. So the power comes from God. Paul says, I want to know him. And I want to know his power. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:7. 2 Corinthians 4:7. And we all need more power. We all need more power over sin. We need more power to be a witness for Christ. We need more power to stand for Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. What's he saying there? That we have contained in this body of clay infinite power. Why? Because God lives there. Amen? We are now the temple of the Holy Ghost. And when he moved in, he brought the power of God. Paul says, How should we respond when we lose everything? How should we respond when all of our earthly possessions are stripped away? That I may know him. And that I may know his power. But we're not done. Philippians 3:10. This is the one that maybe we don't think about. But it's just as much a part of what our desire should be as knowing him better and having his power. Look what he says, and the fellowship of his sufferings. What do you think he means by fellowship? That we might share in his sufferings, that we might understand his sufferings, that when our sufferings come, which they will, we are suffering with him. We are sharing in what he went through for us. We're just getting a small taste. Look at Romans 8:17 and we'll see this. Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. Paul said, this is my desire. You know, at one point in his early Christian life, he came to God and said, please remove my thorn. But God said, no. My grace is sufficient. And then he turned it around and said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. I understand now that this is an opportunity for me to fellowship in his sufferings. Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs. Praise God. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. What a blessing that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. But look what it goes on to say. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We see that phrase, suffer with him. It's not saying suffer because of him. It's not saying suffer outside of him, it's suffering with him. That we, when we suffer, it's a fellowship of his sufferings. It's a taste, just a taste. Look at 2 Corinthians 1:7, and we'll see it again. Just a taste of what he went through for us. And when that happens, we need to stop and say, thank you, Lord. I not only want to know you better, I not only want to have your power, but I also want to understand better what you went through for me. And this is how we do it. We acknowledge that the suffering is God's will. And we praise God that he gave us an opportunity to just have a small taste of what Jesus went through for us. Amen. 2 Corinthians 1:7. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Partakers of the sufferings. That's like sitting down and partaking of a meal. We partake of sufferings so that we can also be a partaker of what? Consolation. God consoles us. God comforts us when we do suffer. Paul says, I want to know him. I want to have his power. But I also want to be involved in the fellowship of his sufferings. 1 Peter 4:13, we'll look at another one. You know, if we had this attitude that Paul had, then when the trials do come, we won't say, woe is me. We won't say, Lord, why? We'll say, Lord, what are you teaching me? And thank you, Lord, for letting me have an opportunity to fellowship with your sufferings. 1 Peter 4:13, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Of course, we're going to be glad with exceeding joy when we see Jesus, when his glory is revealed. But God says, in the meantime, when the sufferings come, why should we rejoice? Because we are partakers of Christ's sufferings. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul's actually asking for this. We don't usually ask for this, do we? We might ask to know him better, and we might ask for his power, but how often do we say, Lord, can I also share in some of your sufferings? But that's what he's asking. Lord, I want to know you better. And one of the best ways to know you better is to better understand the sufferings that you went through for me. So let me be involved in the fellowship of them. Let me be a partaker of them. While you're at 1 Peter, look at chapter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called you into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. After you suffered a while. So these sufferings are not a surprise to God. He says, count it not strange, 1 Peter 4:12, when it happens. Matter of fact, it's God giving us an opportunity to praise him that we can also partake in the fellowship of his sufferings. And if this was our desire, like it was Paul's, I've lost everything, he said, I don't care. What I want is to know him better. What I want is his power so I can serve him better. And what I want is to be a partaker of his sufferings so I can understand him better. Isn't that beautiful? We might know him, that we might serve him with his power, and that we might better understand him, what he went through for us 2,000 years ago. A fellowship of his sufferings. So that should be our goal, just like it was Paul's, not to acquire more stuff, but to acquire more knowledge, acquire more power, and to acquire a right attitude about the sufferings. That we are being a partaker of Christ's sufferings, that we're fellowshipping with his sufferings. Praise God, that I might know, may know him. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for this beautiful truth. I pray, Lord, that as the time goes by, you would strip away those things in our life, Lord, that we don't need. Lord, that we can focus on knowing you better. We can focus on having your power. And Lord, we can focus on the fellowship of your sufferings. So that when we do see you very soon, we're ready, we're excited. So Lord, have your will in our hearts. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. We love you.